Chapter 2, The Ancient Regime of France. Question first. What do you know about the ancient regime of France? Discuss. Answer. In the 18th century, like other countries of Europe, France was also ruled by the autocrats of the Bourbon dynasty, who had faith in autocratic rule, central administration, privileged nobility, exploited commoners, and the corrupt church, etc. All these symptoms of ancient regime were present in France before the outbreak of the French Revolution in 1789, and they could be held responsible for contributing to this significant event of the history of Europe. The following defects in the administration of France made the outbreak of revolution all the more inevitable. Now, political condition. Defects in ancient regime. First, the administrative system of France was very defective. The King of France enjoyed unlimited power under his autocratic rule. By 1660, there was no control upon the rights of the king by the nobility, church, or any institution of the state. The only institution of medieval age, the States General, had also become moribund, as no meeting of the States General had taken place after 1615 AD. Second, the king regarded himself to be the representative of God on earth and believed in the theory of divine right. He did not consider himself responsible to anybody for his actions. His will was law. He had the absolute right to appoint any person on the highest or the lowest post. Only the judges of parliament were free to give their decisions. Even the ordinance issued by the king could not be executed without the approval of the Parliament of Paris. But if he gave any order in the court by his own presence, then the judges had no right to oppose it. Thus, the Parliament of Paris had a slight control on the unrestrained powers of the king. Now third, the king used to take help of his ministers and the allied committees for the smooth running of administration. The most famous of these committees was Financial Committee. The king used to decide the annual tax in consultation with his officers and get the taxes realized by the contractors. He had a right to spend any amount according to his will out of the collected revenue. Power of waging war or concluding treaty with any country was also vested in the king. Thus, king was omnipotent. Fourth, the king had the fullest control over the subjects. He could imprison or punish any person with the help of letters de cachet. Any individual could be imprisoned for indefinite period with the help of these letters. These letters generally remained in possession of the ministers and faithful officials of the king, and they generally misused these warrants for their personal hatred and quarrels. Thus, the entire administration of France was autocratic and corrupt. Now, important rules of France. Louis XIV was an autocratic ruler. He successfully ruled in France from 1643 to 1673 AD. He not only made the autocracy popular in France by his ability, hard work, and farsightedness, but also made France an example for the other European countries. He waged a number of wars and drained the state treasury due to constant wars. At the time of his death, he advised his grandson Louis XV not to indulge in wars, but being merely a child of 5 years, Louis XV failed to follow the last words of his grandfather, who never considered himself a king but a state. When Louis XV ascended the throne of France, he was merely a child of 5 years. With the advancement of age, he proved to be a worthless and licentious ruler. He used to pass most of his time in gambling house in the company of dancers and concubines. He was in the habit of spending a good amount on his concubines, and they generally interfered in the politics of the state. Later on, people began to oppose all this, but the king did not pay any attention towards it. He had a firm faith in the theory that after me the deluge. Instead of minimizing the troubles of the public, Louis XV had increased them. His taking part in the European wars proved very dangerous and made the revolution inevitable. With the encroachment of Louis XVI, a new ray of hope shone in the hearts of the people that the new king will prove to be reformist and do something good for the subjects. But he did not possess the requisite qualities. His queen Antoinette was also a spendthrift lady. She squandered a huge amount of money on all sorts of luxuries. She was very beautiful, and the king was greatly impressed by her. Both the king and the queen failed to satisfy their subjects and ultimately pushed their country into the flames of revolution. During the reign of these unworthy rulers, corruption and maladministration was rampant. The country was divided into many departments on the basis of unequal area, uneven taxes, and arbitrary laws. This inequality in the sphere of law has been described in the Cambridge Modern History in these words: there were in France on the eve of the revolution at least 360 bodies of law in force, sometimes throughout the whole province, sometimes in a much smaller area. The provincial administration of France was also very defective. The provincial officers, known as intendants, were responsible for the smooth running of the administration, but for this, they required the permission of central government. It was a long process, and much time was needed for the approval of the central government. That is why there was a lot of mismanagement in the administration. The French army was also not well organized, and it was riddled with corruption. Generally, people were free to join the army service, but in view of the harshness of army rules, discipline and wages, none wanted to join it. People were forced to join the army. Generally, criminals, prisoners and people from the lower strata of society were recruited in the army. But the high posts in the army were reserved for the nobles. It did not concern whether they were fit for the post or not. Thus, the army organization was loosely knit and defective. Now, economic condition. When Louis XVI ascended the throne, the national loan increased a lot. The state treasury was in deficit of francs, 2 crore annually. On the other hand, the peasantry was burdened with taxes. Louis XVI was much worried to see this miserable condition of the people and he wanted to improve it. He appointed several financial ministries, but all of them failed to make any improvement. The following finance ministers were appointed by the king to improve the economic condition of France. First is Turgot, Turgot, 1774-76. Louis XVI, after his accession, first of all appointed Turgot to the post of finance minister. He chalked out a detailed program to improve the economic condition of France. He wanted to minimize the state expenses. He also intended to impose taxes on the nobles and the priests who were hitherto exempted from all taxes. But the queen and the nobles, along with the priests, opposed him vehemently, and he was removed by the king. Second is Necker, N-E-C-K-E-R, 1776-81. Necker was the second finance minister who wanted to bring about reform in the economic condition of France, but in the meanwhile, France took part in the American War of Independence, and this told upon the state treasury. Consequently, Necker also followed the path of Turgot and proposed equal taxation on all classes. Queen Antoinette criticized him as a miser because she did not want to curtail her expenses. The king had to remove him due to the excessive influence of the queen. Third, Calonne, C-A-L-O-N-N-E, 1781-86. Calonne was appointed to the office of finance minister after Necker. He did not wish to displease the royal family, so he took huge loans to compensate the deficit, for which he had to pay heavy interest. But soon he realized that the administration could not work efficiently on the basis of this policy, and arranged for a meeting of the assembly of nobles to be called, and king was compelled to accept his proposal. Now, assembly of notables. The nobles, priests, and the magistrates were the members of the assembly, who were appointed by the king himself. So, it lacked the representation of the general public. When Calonne proposed for equality of taxes for all the classes, the members of the assembly, along with other nobles, opposed it outright. They also pressed the king to suspend Calonne, and the king had to agree to their proposal due to his weakness. Now Brienne, B-R-I-E-N-N-E. Brienne was the last man to be appointed as finance minister, but he too did not succeed in solving the economic problems. He newly proposed taxes were opposed by the Parliament of Paris, and it stressed that the right of imposing taxes lay with those only who paid the taxes. So, a meeting of States General was summoned for the approval of new taxes. People welcomed this idea and passed a resolution in favor of this proposal. Seeing the revolutionary spirit of the public, the king and his ministers were terrified, and the king called the meeting of States General in May 1789 in Versailles. As Turgot had breathed his last by the time, Necker was appointed the chief minister. Now, the States General. It was not a new institution, but no meeting of this assembly had been held since 1615 AD. Actually, it was formed during the reign of Philip the Fair in 1302 AD. The chief function of this assembly was to advise the king. It had three houses, which were represented by the nobles, priests, and the commoners, respectively. The king doubled the number of members of the third house, so that the nobles and the priests might not do injustice to the commoners. Philip the Fair once said about the duties of this assembly, "The duty of its members is to hear, receive, approve, and perform what should be commanded of them by the king." Some of the eminent historians are of the opinion that calling off the meeting of States General was an invitation to the revolution, as it enabled the people to know about their rights and duties. The economic condition of France was going from bad to worse, day by day. The king used to spend the money lavishly for his comforts and luxuries. The nobles and upper class clergymen also led a life of pleasure, while the commoners paid the price of their luxuries and gave away 80% of their income in taxes to the government. It not only embittered them with regard to their present position, but also instigated them to revolt and do away with the privileges of the nobles and the priests once and for all. Now, system of taxes. The system of taxation in France was highly unjust and unpractical. The peasantry had to pay the following taxes, while the nobles and priests, the wealthiest in the French society, were exempted from all the taxes. The system was as follows. First, the serfs had to work on the fields of the farmers 3 days in a week. Second, the independent farmer had to pay quit money as the price of forced labor. Third, the farmers used to pay 1/10 of their income to the church. Fourth, the tally was realized from the farmers according to their economic condition. It, being an indefinite tax, was realized in great quantity. Fifth, the farmers also paid income tax. Sixth, gabelle tax was also extracted from them. Seventh, the farmers had to work for the repairs of the roads without any payment. It was known as corvée. Eighth, the peasantry used to pay taxes at the time of war. All these taxes were realized by the contractors, who tortured and tormented the poor farmers according to their own will. After paying about 80% of their income in taxation, the peasantry was leading a life below subsistence level. They could hardly save much to meet the daily necessities of their family due to the cruel nature of the contractors, who were less interested in the realization of the state taxes than in enriching their own coffers. Undoubtedly, some of the historians have rightly observed that the economic conditions were fully responsible for the outbreak of this revolution. Now, social condition. The 18th century French society was divided into four classes. First, nobles. Second, clergymen. Third, bourgeois. And fourth, the third estate of commoners. Now, nobles. After the royal family, the place of nobles was the most significant one in the French society. They had enough of wealth in their possession, which they used to spend for their luxuries. They lived in palatial buildings and enjoyed various privileges. They were fond of taking wine, gambling, and torturing the commoners. Owing to division of property, their economic condition was worsened, but they were still leading a life full of pomp and show. Now the clergymen. The clergymen in France were also divided into two classes. First, the upper clergy, and the second, lower clergy. The cardinals, archbishop, bishops, and the abbots were formed the upper clergy, while curates, parsons, and friars composed the lower clergy. The priests of upper class led a luxurious life and did nothing for the good of the public. They did not even have faith in the existence of God. Louis XVI once remarked, "At least for Paris, we should have such an archbishop who may have faith in the existence of God." Moreover, they were free from all taxes. The members of the lower clergy were not only educated and learned, but also had firm faith in the existence of God. Apart from performing their religious duties, they used to educate the people. They remained busy from morning till evening, doing one work or the other, but their income was very meager and they could hardly earn to meet the bare necessities of life. They hated the clergymen of upper class. The inequality between the two classes created a gulf which could not be bridged. Now the commoners. They constituted about 85% of the total population in France. The nobles and clergymen both tortured them alike. They had to pay about 80% of their income in taxes to the government. The artisans, craftsmen, laborers, and peasantry all formed the third estate. They were exploited by the privileged class and compelled to lead a miserable life. They had to do much forced labor for the nobles and the church, for which nothing was paid to them. Their condition worsened all the more owing to the establishment of guild system. The big merchants exploited the poor laborers. Now the middle class. The rise of the middle class is an important factor in France. They were well educated and had control over industries, factories, and banks. The doctors, writers, professors, and big businessmen formed this class. Thus, they had intelligence and wealth both in their possession. Sometimes, they used to lend money to the nobles. Even then, their status in the French society was not equal with that of the nobles and priests. It generated a sense of discontentment in them. They took an active part in conducting the French Revolution. Thus, in the French society, people were not having the right of equality. The religious freedom was also not granted to them. They were compelled to lead a life like speechless animals. The French philosophers criticized the then prevailing condition of France and guided the general masses towards revolt against the contemporary society, and the unhappy, unfree, and unprotected people raised their voice against the tyrannical system in France, and thus the death knell of monarchy began ringing in France in 1789. Now, points to remember. Autocratic rulers of Bourbon dynasty ruled in France. They had faith in privileged nobility and exploited commoners. Defects of ancient regime. First, the king had the supreme power, unsurpassed by the church or nobility. Second, the king regarded himself as the representative of God on earth. Only Parliament of Paris had a slight control over his unlimited powers. Third, the king was assisted by the assemblies. The most popular of them was Finance Assembly. Fourth, the king had the fullest control over army and his subjects. Fifth, any person could be imprisoned by the letters de cassette issued by the king. Important rulers of France. First, Louis XIV. Second, Louis XV. Third, Louis XVI. These rulers did not prove themselves worthy, and during their reign, the condition of France deteriorated all the more. Economic condition. Louis tried to improve the economic condition of France and appointed the following finance ministers. First, Turgot. Second, Necker. Third, Colonnet and Brienne. Assembly of notables and estates general were also called for to check the decaying economic structure of France from falling apart by nothing could be done. But to the luxurious king, obstinate queen and sycophantic nobles. The farmers were compelled to pay 8 taxes, which was a cause of their poverty and discontentment, as all these taxes took away 80% of their total income. Now, social condition. The 18th century France was divided into 4 classes. First, nobles. Second, clergymen. Third, bourgeois. And fourth, commoners. The nobles and clergymen belonged to privileged class and enjoyed all the pleasures of life, while the commoners were unprivileged and subjected to tortures and torments. The middle class or the bourgeois possessed wealth and education, both, but their place in society was not equal to that of the nobles and the priests. The French philosophers also played a prominent role in helping the outbreak of the French Revolution.